Welcome to The Wrap, a weekly podcast covering women's sports news. Mels, what have we got this week?
We're going to kick off around the grounds with some non-Olympic news, rugby league boycotting the World Cup, the netball season suspended, and Minji Lee wins her first golf major.
For our key story, we'll look at the Norwegian beach handball team who were fined for wearing shorts instead of bikini bottoms. And then Millie.
We get to chat Olympics.
Oh my. What a few days it's been. I can't wait. One word. Arnie.
I have so much to say about that woman and everything we've seen this week, but we'll probably chat through it in the episode. So let's take a look around the grounds.
In rugby league, the Australian Rugby League Commission and the New Zealand Rugby League have requested the 2021 Rugby League World Cup in England to be postponed 12 months, citing player welfare and safety concerns over COVID-19. They've advised the organisers that they will be boycotting the tournament, which is scheduled to be held in October and November this year. This means both the men's and women's teams from each country will miss out on the World Cup should organisers proceed as planned. The Gillaroos and Kiwi Ferns could play each other at the end of the year to make up for not taking part in this year's World Cup. The NRLW clubs are seeking more clarity around what this season looks like for them given the current COVID outbreak. The girls have talked a lot about how much they've sacrificed so far in the competition. The league has expanded in really good news to include six teams rather than the previous four teams, but the girls are really hoping that it continues to expand the length of the season rather than taking backward steps because of COVID.
In netball, there were no games last weekend as the teams all made a crazy dash to Queensland from Adelaide to ensure they could finish the comp. It was decided that given the huge disruption COVID has caused over the last few weeks that all matches will be suspended and the final three rounds are rescheduled. The revamped draw will see midweek matches for round 12 with doubleheaders to be played at Brisbane's Nissan Arena on Tuesday the 27th of July and Wednesday the 28th of July. Round 13 and 14 will be played out over the ensuing 10 days with finals scheduled to start on Saturday the 14th of August. All matches will be broadcast on the Nine Network or Telstra TV and via the Netball Live app, meaning fans across the country can watch the world's best netball league live as it gets down to the business end of the season.
In golf, Australia's Minji Lee overturned a seven-shot deficit before beating South Korea's Jeongun Lee 6 in a playoff to win her first major title in the Evian Championship. Lee carded a final round of 64 to set the clubhouse target of 18 under par and briefly held a two-shot lead when she made a fourth birdie in the last five holes. She wrapped it up by lipping out for eagle before tapping in for a winning birdie. Look, there's a lot of words in there that didn't make a lot of sense to me, but for those who don't play a whole lot of golf, a birdie means you score one stroke under par, while an eagle is a score of two under par. So that's really good. I think it is. I don't really know, but it sounds good. Mills, it's time. Let's jump into the Olympics.
Yes. My favorite. Starting off with soccer. The Matildas got their Olympic campaign off to a great start, defeating the Football Ferns 2-1 on Wednesday night. Sam Kerr set up Tamika Yallop, who found the back of the net before a Steph Catley corner connected a wonderful header from Sam Kerr. Australia then took on Sweden for game two. This game was always going to be a challenge for the Matildas, with the Swedes having rolled the highly fancied US team 2 days earlier, 3-0. Sam Kerr was again in fine form, scoring two goals, but it wasn't enough against the Swedes, 4. Next up, the Aussies face the US in their final pool match on Tuesday night. A win will see them advance, but anything less than all 3 points may have the Matildas looking to other results to qualify for the quarterfinals as one of the two best third place finishers.
In softball, Australia opened the Tokyo Olympics with a crushing 8-1 loss to Japan, the Rio 2016 gold medalists. They rallied back, defeating Italy 1-0 in a nail-biter on Thursday. Australia looked much more comfortable with their single run by Jade Wall in the second innings. The Aussies played arguably their best game of the tournament against world number one American team, but went down 2-1 in the extra eighth innings. The scores were locked at nil all after seven innings, but the Americans managed to get two runners across home base in the extra eighth inning to win a nail-biter.
In tennis, the Aussies haven't fared well in the women's singles in Tokyo, with both Sam Stosur and world number one Ash Barty going down in their first round single matches over the weekend. Quite a big loss for Ash Barty. I think coming off the back of Wimbledon, it was quite a shock to see her out in the first singles round. She mentioned that she just felt a little bit erratic, and she kind of, I think, was a bit thrown by the fact that she really didn't get make enough balls in the game. But they'll now both turn their attention to the doubles, where Barty will partner with Storm Sanders and Stoza with Ellen Perez.
Surfing made its Olympic debut over the weekend, and the Aussie team powered through the first round with heat victories to both Steph Gilmore and Sally Fitzgibbons. Both surfers went straight through to round three after winning their heats at Surigasaki Beach in Ichinomiya, which is about a two-hour drive from downtown Tokyo. Round one saw pretty small beach break conditions, but with a potential typhoon offshore, there's hope that the swell size will kick up over the next few days. Round three on Monday morning sadly saw Steph get knocked out after she was beaten by South Africa's Bianca Budendag. You could see how visibly upset Steph was after losing that one. I think she would have been incredibly disappointed with that result. Sally Fitz won her heat against Pauline Adot of France and is now headed to the quarterfinals.
In swimming, Australia's first gold medal was won in the pool on Sunday, and it came from the women's 4x100-metre freestyle relay team, who absolutely blew every other country out of the water. The relay team, consisting of Bronte Campbell, Meg Harris, Emma McKeon, and Kate Campbell, set a new world record, shaving 0.3 of a second off their previous best to break the 3:30 mark for the first time in history, stopping the clock at 3:29.69. What a race this was, Chloe. I think probably we could speak for most of Australia that they were probably, everyone was up on their feet screaming at the television. Well, I surely was. It was incredible.
It was so cool. It was reminding me like back in the day when Thorpe used to swim in the relay. Like it felt like a history making moment. And the fact that they've done it three times in a row is absolutely huge.
Yeah. So they've won that Olympic gold at London 2012. And in Rio 2016, and Kate Campbell has been a member of that team in all three of those gold medal winning teams. It was pretty awesome to see. Obviously, there was the older competitors like Kate Campbell, obviously Bronte Campbell, Emma McKeon had been around for a while. But in the heats, obviously, there was Meg Harris who competed in the final, but also who's, may I add, is 19 years old. And then the heats for the 4x100 relay was also 17-year-old Molly O'Callaghan, who is the youngest member of the Australian Olympic team for Tokyo. So just awesome to see this younger group of athletes coming through the ranks under these, the likes of Kate Campbell. Awesome to see that next generation.
Talking about that next gen, Millie, Ariane Titmus, holy moly. She is 20 years old and she absolutely smashed her Olympic debut. She won the 400 meter freestyle event, beating her US rival, Katie Ledecky. Talk me through your emotions in this race.
Honestly, I think it was like I was sweating afterwards. I felt like I had done an exercise. I was so stressed, but it was, I don't like, and it's funny, I scream at the television like they can hear me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, come on. But I think, yeah, as it's similar with the 4x100 meter relay, I think everyone in Australia was rallying behind Ariane as she took on Katie, and it was just an incredible race to watch. Her and her coach, Dean Boxall, they put so much time into their preparation, and it's cool to see, I guess, there's obviously different strategies with how people go out, especially for a race like a 400, which is obviously that kind of middle length. It's not a long paced event where with the 1500 or the 800, and it's not really your typical sprint event. So it's really that middle distance, and seeing obviously Katie led probably 6 out of the 8 laps of that race, and it wasn't until probably that last 75 meters when Ariane really took over. So it was just incredible to watch. I think her coming hard, coming home hard in that last 50 meters was just incredible.
Yeah, and I loved the live cross to the family back home watching, and they were just all in tears. I was in tears, but they were in more tears. That's a good sentence.
Her granny.
And the grandpa on the couch. Oh, they were beautiful. But it was so cool to see, like, you just knew that they knew how much hard work had gone into that gold medal. I think that was really special.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, in canoe slalom, Jess Fox has kicked off her Olympic campaign. This is her third Olympic Games. She's obviously got her bronze and silver. So there's a lot of I don't want to say pressure on to win gold this time around, but I think a lot of Australia is rallying behind Jess to win that gold medal. She had the two heat events on Sunday, the K1. She qualified first overall. She finished second in the first run and then first overall in the second run of the heats. She definitely looked a little bit more, I think, relaxed on the course the second time around. I think the fact that they don't get to practice on the course before they jump on, it blows my mind because I don't know how they managed to pull themselves through a giant spa bath, as I like to describe what it looks like. Yeah, so she obviously looked a lot more comfortable on that second run through, and her competitor, Ricarda Funk, looked very, very composed as well. So Tuesday's final will be interesting, seeing Funk and Fox go off against each other, but obviously rallying behind Jess, and really hope she can get the gold in this one.
Let's take a look at the key story. So the Norwegian women's beach handball team have protested against the European Handball Federation's rules that they have to wear bikini bottoms during competition. They've instead chosen to wear shorts. The federation were not impressed and have since fined each of the players 150 euros, which is about $177 per player, for wearing shorts instead of the required bikini bottoms against Spain at the European Beach Handball Championships in Bulgaria. The girls took to social media and have received a huge amount of support from all across the world. People claiming that these girls should have every right to choose what they want to wear in competition. These words that it's actually really gross. These words that specify the bikinis. Female athletes must wear bikini bottoms with a close fit and cut on an upward angle towards the top of the leg. The side width must be a maximum of 10 centimeters.
That is disgusting.
It's gross. So I love what these girls have done. And the coolest part is that Pink, the singer, the one with pink hair, has offered to pay the fine handed to the beach handball team. I also love that it's handball. Did you ever play that in PE? Because that was definitely the best sport.
Yeah, of course. It was great.
But Pink took to Twitter and said she'll offer to pay the fine. So it's been really cool to see the way that that's kind of taken off around the world and the amount of support that these girls have received.
Yeah, absolutely. In a kind of similar but different story, Germany's female gymnast stood out from the other Tokyo Olympic competitors on Sunday during a team qualifying round by wearing unitards rather than traditional leotards. They first wore the bodysuits in competition during the European Championships in April, when the German Gymnastics Federation said the choice of apparel was meant to counteract the sexualization in the sport. Germany's Elisabeth Seitz said, "We wanted to show that every woman, every body should decide what to wear." I think this is really powerful, seeing I saw the image of these girls, and I think it's so true. Like, there's so many uniforms, and we've talked about this across the podcast on numerous occasions, about these, I guess, outdated uniforms that women are forced to wear in sport. And it's awesome to see these girls empowering, hopefully, other women to do the same thing in gymnastics if they're not comfortable wearing the leotards. And I think it's incredibly, I actually shared this story about the beach handball team by so many people. And I think it was going viral on social media. And it was just, I think it's the same thing of these organizations kind of, I guess, policing and controlling women's bodies. And it's so disappointing to constantly see this thing where women can't just go out there and feel comfortable in what they're wearing to perform their best. It's it comes down to what they have to wear. I think, yeah, it's just so outdated.
Mm-hmm. Give women the choice.
Absolutely.
Let's take a look at what to watch.
So, in a bit of a different news to the Olympics, the CrossFit Games starts this week on Wednesday, our time, with our great Tia Claire Toomey going for her fifth consecutive CrossFit Games. I personally have no doubt that she will get it, but I'm very excited to watch this one. So you can stream this on YouTube and also the CrossFit Games website. We've also got Kara Saunders and Ellie Turner, the other Aussies, competing in the CrossFit game. So very excited. I'm a huge CrossFit fan, so I'm really excited to watch that one kick off this week.
And for everything Olympics, head over to our Instagram at The Female Athlete Project. We've got you covered with a daily schedule. Anytime someone wins a medal, we're on it. We've got you with a daily wrap of the events of what's happening. We've got some reels of Ariana Titmus' crazy coach dancing to Fisher's losing it. It's all happening. So go check it out and give us a follow.
And that's the wrap. What a week, honestly. And I can't wait. We've got another 2 weeks, I guess, of Olympic wraps. If you guys haven't noticed, I'm a little bit obsessed. But an incredible week so far of sport, and I can't wait to keep watching the games.
Me too. I'll see you there. not in Tokyo.
Bye.
Bye.